Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 192, Mothers in Israel. Pastor Karen Coulterman delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana on May 9th, 2021.
I'm really glad to see you all out here on such a very rainy day. Hopefully the message I have for you is going to be effective and good. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. I want to share with you some of my history because that will help you in your future. So when we first knew that we were coming here, we had a friend in the ministry who was a pastor in Michigan, and he knew we needed prayer because this was something new for us to do after all the years we had been at Pastor Summerall's church. And so he invited us to come on a Sunday evening. Pastor Mark Barclay was going to be there, and he's kind of an apostolic, prophetic minister of the gospel. And so we went, and we listened to the sermon, and then he had those who needed prayer to come forward, and Pastor and I did. And he didn't know at the time the challenge that I felt, because I had been a full-time mom up until that point, and I was feeling like, what am I going to do? How do I be a co-pastor? How do I be a wife to a pastor? What am I going to do? And so I was really challenged with that. But we went forward, and Pastor Mark, he knew that we were starting this ministry. And he laid his hands on my head, and he started laughing. And he said, "Oh, Mother in Israel, Mother in Israel." And then he prayed over me. And at that point, I knew the pressure just lifted. I knew how to be a mother. I knew I could be a mom. And all the fear left. And also in Israel, I love Israel. So it was something that I thought, oh, praise God. You're with me on this, Lord. You'll help me and I can do this. So I said all that because, you know, when I was little, I was an only child and I didn't have all that much experience with children. And when we got saved and I started having children, it wasn't automatic. I mean, I needed God all the way to be a mother. And I thought, well, you know, when they're school age, I'll send them to school and I'll go back to work. And I didn't think about it anymore. But as I was praying and I'd watch Christian television at the time, and 700 Club was on, and they talked about homeschool. And I knew that I knew God was calling me to homeschool. And I didn't know why, but I knew that's what I needed to do. And it was very challenging again because I didn't have that much experience teaching children or being with them. And I knew this was going to be a full-time commitment. But praise God, he was with me because that's what his desire for me was. It wasn't that I had any capabilities, but God knew he could help me. And that as he helped me, I could do it. And I did. And that's when our kids were grown. I homeschooled from kindergarten on through to high school. And that's when we moved to Fort Wayne, when Christina was in Bible school and Anna was a senior in high school and Jeremiah was a junior. And I looked back and I said, God, you were with me all the way. And so today, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how God is our source of strength. It doesn't matter how fearful we might be about mothering. God is the one who gives us the grace and the ability. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for each and every person here today. And I ask that the words that I speak will be understandable and will go directly to their heart. Thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So first of all, I want to wish you all happy Mother's Day. It's a special day just set aside so that we mothers can be honored, I guess. And I want to honor you all. I realize it's a difficult task, and I realize that God loves mothers. and gives mothers grace. Even though sometimes we mess things up, He's always there to flow through us. It's a great blessing. He needs God-fearing mothers in the world today. So that's all the fluff I'm going to give. The rest of this message is a war cry. It's basically, let's get busy, okay? So when Mark Barclay laid his hands on me and said, "Mother in Israel," I didn't really understand what that meant. I knew mothering, I loved Israel, but I didn't quite grasp the sense of mother in Israel. And today we're going to look at a woman who was known as mother in Israel, and that's in Judges, just so you know where to go, in the Old Testament. So it seems today we're focusing on Old Testament. She was known as mother in Israel, and that was really significant. So mother in Israel means one who brings liberation from oppression, provides protection, and ensures the well-being and security of her people. And as a judge, this is what Deborah did. We're going to be discussing, looking at Deborah. So let's look at her story for some examples of how she was a mother in Israel and also a judge. We can go to Judges chapter 2, because this gives kind of the format for where Deborah came into the picture. And this is after the children of Israel were in the promised land. And if you remember, Moses was not able to go in with the rest, but Joshua and Caleb took the rest of the people into Israel. And so if we go to verse 7 of chapter 2, it says this: "The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel." Okay. But then let's go to verse 10. "After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors," in other words, after they died, "another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the people around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. In his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around him. They were no longer able to resist. Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them. They were in great distress." So Dr. Summerall used to say that, you know, if you're passionate for God, it's difficult to carry that passion, that love for the Lord into the next generation, and even more difficult into the next generation, two generations removed from yourself. And that's what we see here. After Joshua and all of those elders died, the Israelites moved on, and they didn't have God's word in them anymore. They didn't have that love for God in them. And they went into worshiping the idols that were in the land, the heathens that were there. They did wicked things. They went away from God. But God loved them. He raised Israel up as the chosen group of people with whom he was going to bring the Savior into the world eventually. He needed them to love him, to be the nation that honored him as Father God. And so he continued to work with them, even though they'd fall away. He raised up judges in order to bring them back to him. And so here we see in chapter 3, we see that he raised up Othniel, who delivered them from the enemy that they were serving at that time. And until he died, they got to know the Lord. They served God. And then after Othniel died, he raised up Ehud. After Ehud died, he raised up Shamgar. So, you know, they lived about 20 to 40 years each judge. And so the people came back to the Lord, but then they fell away again. And that's where we now find the time of Deborah. It says in chapter 4 of Judges, number 1, again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now that Ehud was dead. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazar. Sisera, the commander of his army, was based in another town because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. They cried out for help. So once again, they were oppressed severely and they were crying out to God for help. And so he was about to raise up another judge. Only this time it wouldn't be a man. It would be a woman. And that's very interesting because, you know, in those days, especially, men ruled the roost and women were kind of subservient to that. But there was a woman who was diligent, who was totally sold out to God. And, you know, it's possible that he couldn't find a man who really wanted to be on fire for God, who wanted to get to know God as his Father and to know his voice and to obey him. But Deborah was a woman who had the heart of God. She sought him regularly. She understood his voice. She listened to it and she obeyed it. So Deborah was raised up as a judge. So in verses 4, it says, now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah, because between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. So at the time she was judging them, they would come to her with disputes. Now, you know, people are people, then and now. And you know that people have disputes with one another. And you know it's kind of complicated sometimes. People are complicated at times. And in and of ourselves, settling those disputes is often difficult. So Deborah couldn't have been that much different than you and I. She heard God's voice, though. She sought him diligently and regularly and was able to bring an answer to those disputes. Again, because she loved God, and God loved the children of Israel. She sought God's heart, and his heart was for those children. So likewise, her heart was for them also. And she was able, through God, to bring disputes to an end. And that's why they called her Mother in Israel. To them, she had the answers. They saw her in that capacity. So, as we go on, let's see here. verses, starting with verse 6. First of all, what I want to say is that what we see in the Old Testament or Old Covenant is examples of actual things that happen. But as we study the Old Covenant, we can take from those actual events principles that now we can use in the New Covenant today. So we don't actually do the same actions over again, but the principles that are in those actions we can take into the New Covenant and learn from. And that's what we want to do now. So verses, let's see, did I just read 4 and 5? Yeah, I know. I wanted first to make a point here. Israel was disobedient and serving other gods and extremely oppressed because of it. What we can learn from that is, look at us today in America. We're oppressed because of the rulers of America, because we've yielded over to the enemy and his plans for this nation. God raised Israel up to be a nation that honored him so that he could bring the Savior through a woman who was an Israelite. Today, America is the same way. God raised America up to enjoy freedom to worship him. And many, many generations, we've had missionaries go from this nation all over the world to worship and to teach others about the love of God for them. And the enemy wants to destroy us like he wanted to destroy Israel. And so Deborah was raised up as a judge at that time because she knew God. She worshiped him. She had a relationship with God that was close. She understood him. She sought his heart. She heard his voice. She knew his voice. The voice of a stranger she did not listen to. She knew the voice of God, and she obeyed the voice of God. And what I'm saying is, each one of you women, if you're saved, you're a daughter of God. And today, God desires that likewise we would be women devoted to him. Whether we're natural mothers or not, we would be mothers in Israel, just as Deborah was, so that we can speak truth to those who don't know it yet. He used Deborah to save a nation. He wants to use you and I to move in this nation likewise. So let's go on and look at verses 6 and following. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh and in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor." And then she said, this is what God said, "I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." Barak was the commander of the army in Israel, just as Sisera was the commander of Jabin's army. And so God told her, you know what? You've been judging these people. I love them. I hear their cry for help. And I'm going to deliver them. And now is the time. So he gave Deborah this message. And she gave it to Barak. But look at verse 8. Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." Now, she didn't condemn him for that. But probably he realized, you know what? I don't know the God like she does. And just like Pastor Don said before, Moses was a spokesperson to the Israelites when they were in the desert. They were afraid of God. And so they told Moses, you listen to God, you talk with God, and then you tell us what he says, and we'll be happy with that. And the same with Deborah. Barak probably said, you know what? I'm a busy man. I'm in the army. And Deborah, if you go ahead and you hear from God, you talk to God, and I'll do what God says through you, but I'm not directly going to talk to God. I'm not going to seek that kind of relationship with God. And so Deborah did that. In verse 9, it says, certainly I will go with you, said Deborah. But because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman. She wanted him to know, you know, if you had a relationship with God, you would feel comfortable doing this. But because you're not, God is going to use a woman to show you how strong I am as God. So let's go on then. Verse 10. There Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command. Deborah also went up with him. Now Heber, the Kenite, had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law. They're all related, right? And pitched his tent by the great tree of Zananim near Kadesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera summoned from Harosheth Hagoyim to the Kishon River all his men and his 900 chariots fitted with iron. And if you look at this, this is a little bit like Pharaoh when he was chasing the Israelites in the desert. Then Deborah said to Barak, go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? So Barak went down Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all Sisera's troops fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, meanwhile, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there was an alliance between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the family of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid. So he entered her tent, and she covered him with a blanket. And I gather that Olivia said something about who needs Netflix when you have the Old Testament. So we see here the actions that we can learn principles from, not follow actions of. I'm thirsty, he said. Please give me some water. She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. You know, milk works for a baby every time to put them to sleep. So stand in the doorway of a tent, he told her. If someone comes by and asks you, is anyone there? Say no. But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Just then, Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. Come, she said, I will show you the man you're looking for. So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera, with the tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, before the Israelites, and the hand of the Israelites pressed harder and harder against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they destroyed him. So the prophecy that Deborah had about a woman being honored to totally destroy the army. The army, Sisera, came. As did the deliverance of the entire nation of Israel. And I think, you know, how courageous and how determined Jael was as a woman to do that. You know, Sisera was well known. I mean, people were afraid of him because of all the iron chariots and his position. But she pooed. Because God used Deborah to prophesy that she would pursue it. So what I want to ask you at the moment is, do you feel sometimes like you're the only one who listens to the voice of God, who honors God in your family, your relationships with others? And do you want to pursue continuing that, or do you feel like I just want to go backwards? I'm just going to lay down and play dead because the pressure is so great. That's what it was like with Deborah. She was in the nation of Israel, and in her area she was judge. But oftentimes she was the only woman who clearly heard God's voice because she spent time with the Lord. Her heart was totally sold out to God. And as such, she obeyed God rather than listening to those around her. But she pressed forward. God knew she would. He helped her do that because God saw the strength that she had. Yes, she was a woman, but he saw the strength in her. She was his woman, his daughter. And he knew that as she continued to seek him, she would be strong enough to be a deliverer for all of Israel. And today, God sees each one of you, daughters of him. Each one, if you're born again, he sees you. He calls you his precious daughter. And he knows that you are strong because he's put that strength in you. Yeah, there's pressures in the world today. There's times when lies come against us, especially those that are loved ones come against us and say things, do things that hurt us. The devil knows that, but God also knows who's in you. And as we rely on the Holy Spirit of God, he brings that strength into us. So Deborah had a great purpose from God in those days. She did bring liberation from oppression. She protected those people. She ensured their safety and their security. She brought answers they had, all because she loved the Lord and she loved the Lord and didn't care what others thought about her. And I think it's so important today that we take that lesson from her, that no matter what, no matter what kind of lies they bring, you know, if you're a mom and the world says, oh, that's all she can do is be a mother, you know, what kind of worth is that? That's a lie. That's the most important task you'll ever have, is being a mother. And if you're a mother to be, God has the same for you. If you've never been a mother, this is the point I want to make. You are a child of God, and he desires you to be a mother in Israel. He needs you to be a mother in Israel. There's a difference between men and women, between moms and dads. Both of us are needed, but as mothers, we have that nurturing that kind of works with patience and just, you know, we love to be patient with others and love on. There are so many. And you I, just as Deborah, when we hear God's voice, when we have that relationship with God, we can share that with those that he brings into contact with us. And just as he told me, I was a mother in Israel. All the pastor work that I had in my head, I can be a mother. I can love on these people. I can nurture these people. I can help them with answers to their problems. That's what he's called each one of you women to. It may not be easy. I'm sure it was not easy for Deborah. She was in a world where men ruled the roost. And yet, because she had that strong relationship with God, she was able to be his vessel. She was willing to be his vessel to bring deliverance to the multitudes. And the other thing I want to say is, you had any children of your own yet, or you may never have had any children, or you may be a single mom, but don't let the lies of the enemy intimidate you. Don't let people try to tell you, you can't do this, because with God, all things are possible. When we had children, and I didn't really understand children at the time, but every day God showed me, okay, today you do this. Every time one of my children misbehaved, he showed me what to do. You know, he didn't say, oh, well, you guess. Guess what's going to work in this case. No, he showed me. When we go to God with our problems, he always has the answer. So that's so important. And each one of us within us as daughters of God, we have potential to be a mother to someone else. Whether it's natural or spiritual, God, the Holy Spirit in us, gives us that potential. All we have to do is draw on that from the Holy Spirit to help others. So the question is, are you willing to be a Deborah? Are you willing, as women of God, to prioritize your time to spend with God, to seek his face, his will, his answers, as most important, rather than things of this world, because that's what he desires more than anything? Are you willing to obey his voice and then respond as Deborah did to help those that come your way? And there are many that are coming your way. You see, we live in very trying times, just as Deborah did. And just as with Deborah, many, many children, not just chronologically aged children, but children, maybe they just got born again and they have no idea what that means. Maybe they're not born again yet, but they're children in their walk with the Lord. They need us. Each of us has a purpose, that purpose from our Father God to fulfill. His desire is to see that those who love him and call themselves his children would grow up in him and then raise up other children to do likewise, to come into his kingdom, to grow into mothers themselves of other children. And as I said, every time we have a question, because we know people are complicated, every time we go to him and say, what am I going to do this time? He has the answer for us. His word gives us many instructions. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us with understanding those instructions. So if you're a mother of natural children, if you're a mother of spiritual children, you're called as a mother in Israel. God has an important purpose for each of you. He will help with every step along the way. to produce grown adults who love and serve Him, both natural and spiritual. That's His will. And I want to close with Isaiah 54, 13 and 14. And again, this is a group of verses that I've stood on since I got born again and had children. As all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. In righteousness, you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. God's word will stand with you. Whether you're raising children, teenagers, spiritual children, God is standing with you. You're needed today in America more than ever. You're needed. You're needed to be faithful. You're not weak. You are strong because God lives in each and every one of you. You are strong. He sees your potential. He sees you as a mighty vessel of His. So continue to be strong with Him, and He will give you the guidance you need every step.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.